verses 1 through 3 I'm going to start with. I want to welcome our visitors today. Hallelujah. Memorial Day, we do remember all those that gave the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. We're so thankful for that in them, in their families, right? Because everyone pays a price on that one when you lose a family member. 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3. Let's kick this off. I got a good one for you. By the way, in light of this holiday weekend, I shortened my message a little bit. So instead of 9 pages, I cut it down to 8 today. Is that okay? Is that all right? Okay, I thought you guys would appreciate that. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. What an honor that is. Children of God. Say, I am a child of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, like Jesus. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him or her purifies himself just as he is pure. How many of you know that when people hear the word change, you hear me talk about this before, but I want to dig in on this change thing. When people hear the word change, it stirs up different kinds of emotions on the inside of them, doesn't it? Some people think of change from a negative perspective, and others think of change from a positive perspective, right? Today I want to talk about change, of course, from a positive perspective, and why it's beneficial, and why change is necessary for us as Christians. So the title of my message, there's a couple that I was floating around here in my brain, but what I came up with is this season of change. Season of change. It could be the necessity of change, the importance of change, whatever you want to give it. We're going to let it rip right now. Ready? As long as you are on this earth as a Christian, you are in a season of change in your life. When you get to heaven, there is no need for change. You will be perfect and complete. You will be like him at the full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Like what we just read. The true changing process begins right here, when you make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Making Jesus the Lord of your life, getting born again, that is the starting point of the change process. That's the season you entered. You will never be the same again. Amen? If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're stuck in sin. You're in bondage to sin. The only one that can pull you out, the only one that can give you a new heart to choose righteousness, to love righteousness, to do good, is Jesus. Amen? When the Holy Spirit comes in, regenerates your spirit, you become born again. That scripture I just read, it says, when Jesus shall appear, we shall be like him. So that is the purpose of change in the life of a Christian. Becoming, come on, don't miss this, becoming more like Jesus. If you haven't become like Jesus yet, the change is not finished. We are still in that season of change. Until you take your last breath on this earth, we are in this season of change. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to be more like him when he appears, there needs to be some more changing in my life. Amen? Newsflash, pastors are not perfect. Pastors are not perfect. We have not arrived yet. None of us have arrived. Amen? We're imperfect people being led by a perfect God to reach imperfect people. Amen? We do our best. Amen? But we, like every other committed, born-again Christian, we're pressing forward one day at a time. And that is the key to positive change in our life as a Christian, to continue to move forward. Continue to move forward. There needs to be some kind of progress. Say progress. There needs to be some kind of progress daily, hourly, secondly, continuing to move closer to the Lord. Amen? Now remember, I said this before and I'll say it again. that there is no standing still in the life of a Christian. You're either moving forward or you're moving back. You're never standing still as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritually speaking, there needs to be, and there always is, there's constant motion. The question is, are you moving forward or are you backsliding? That's it. Both of those, by the way, moving forward and back, involves a process. Step by step, you're either moving forward or you're going back. For example, let's just say adultery, all right? The physical act of adultery just doesn't happen by accident, right? It begins in the thought life, and then a whole list of bad decisions follow because of your wrong thought life, right? And you get into that physical act of adultery step by step. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, of course, we know some smart aleck's going to say, oh, yeah, but you can commit adultery without the physical act, right? Of course we know. Jesus said that it's possible to commit adultery on our spouse in our heart, right? In our thought life. But I'm talking about the steps that are taken to the physical act. Everything. Sin happens step by step. Righteousness happens step by step. Amen? So listen to me. Sin is a cancer that will eat away at your spiritual life. And a seemingly small act of sin that seems so harmless. But again, just like a cancer, it grows, it eats away at your spiritual life. Are you following me? Sin is sin, by the way. God doesn't make the distinction in difference, and we shouldn't either. God hates all sin. Amen? He hates all sin, and we should also hate it as his children. That's a pretty good step to start moving forward with God, right? If you don't have that, well, let's get you born again this morning, right? Remember, as a Christian, you have authority. You have the authority, the ability, and the strength to overcome sin. You have a choice to make, Christian. You can go the way of the flesh, or you can go the way of your born-again spirit. It's that simple. The Word of God says when a person is saved or born again, it says this, their spirit man is now created in true righteousness. Isn't that amazing? In true righteousness, in holiness. In other words, it wants to obey your spirit. Walk in the spirit, the Word says. Why? Because your spirit man wants to obey God, right? It wants to please God. But your flesh is always warring against your spirit, your born again spirit. Your flesh doesn't want you to obey or please God. Amen? So now that's why Christians have a choice to make. The sinner, they're just doing what they're doing, right? All right? They're a sinner. I say this all the time. They still have that sin nature in their spirit. They're a child of the devil. James didn't say that. The Bible does, right? They're in bondage to sin, and they're a slave to sin. That's all they do, right? But once they're born again, the Word of God does not, once you're born again, the Word of God doesn't refer to you as a sinner. Did you know that? It refers to you as a saint, right? So does that mean that we're never going to sin again? No, it doesn't mean that. It just means your spiritual nature has been cleaned out. Now you have a choice. Go in the way of the flesh or go in the way of your born again spirit that wants to obey God. Are you following me this morning? All right. So here we go. Change will take place in you as a Christian when you start to surround yourself with people that love Jesus. Christians that can mentor you in the faith. We all need mentors, don't we? That's the importance of finding a good, spirit-filled, Bible-believing church. All right? Now, Proverbs 13:20 says these words, very important. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. That's saying, who are you hanging out with, right? That's what that's talking about. The Apostle Paul understood the importance of the principle of mentoring people when he said this, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, don't follow me if I'm not following Christ. Are you following? Are you following me? Okay. Now, go with me to 1 Timothy 4. Go with me to 1 Timothy 4. You caught me in that one. 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 through 14. I'm laying a foundation right now. All right, get ready. The Holy Spirit showed me some very, very powerful things to share with you here. 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 14 says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." So Paul told Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor, and people were saying, this guy's too young. He doesn't, right? I mean, I used to be in that category, but I'm not now, right? But Paul told Timothy, as a pastor, he said, be an example to the other believers. By the way, this isn't just to pastors. This is to all of us as Christians, right? He said, be an example to other believers in word, in conduct or actions, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Oh, I could camp out on all those. That could be one sermon right there, just those points. Amen? But he's basically saying this. Are you ready? Don't be a stumbling block to others. Don't promote and cause a person to sin. Oh, listen to me now. Listen, here we go. Ready? Your actions, my actions, any of our actions can be the catalyst for change in a person, whether for good or for evil. All right? So here's what you got to understand. Listen to me. People are always watching us. We are, as Christians, you put the name tag Christian on you, okay? People are constantly watching us, all right? People are constantly watching us, and we need to be that godly example that will motivate them, that will inspire them to do righteous things. Amen? Don't be, say, I'm not going to be a stumbling block to people's faith. So again, we are all mentoring people in our life, whether you know it or not, whether you're in the fivefold ministry or you're not, you are a mentor to somebody in your life. I want you to notice the Holy Spirit through Paul gave some more ingredients, all right, that will create change in people. He said, give attention, ready, to reading the Word of God, to exhortation, and to doctrine, to teaching the word, encouraging, reading the word of God, encouraging people, motivating people, inspiring people, and to doctrine, the teachings in the word of God, all right? And then he goes on to tell Timothy, listen, and this is on purpose he tells him this. And then he goes on to tell Pastor Timothy not to neglect the gift that is in him by the laying out of hands through the spiritual impartation. So in other words, not only do we need the reading of the word, the exhortation people, encouraging people, and doctrine and teaching of the word, but then he says, don't neglect the gift, the spiritual gifts that are in you. The gifts of the Spirit must be active. That will create positive change in people. Are you following me? We got to have the gifts of the Spirit rolling and moving in our gatherings. Amen? Amen? All of those things working through you will create, like I said, a positive change through those around you that you influence. You influence someone. Someone's saying, I don't influence anyone. I just sit in a corner at work. And no, you're influencing someone. Amen? This is an important message here. Here we go. Listen to this. Change takes place in us when we dwell in the presence of God, when we experience the presence of God. Go to 2 Corinthians 3:8. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are all influencing someone. Think about that. We're all influenced. You're being watched all the time. It's not just pastor that's in a fishbowl. The moment you put the Christian name tag on, you're marked, you're labeled, and you're being watched. Everything, everything. Amen? You're being watched, not only in person, you're being watched online even. By the way, you liking my post online? From a heart of a pastor. I bet, you know, what came to me was, I should make a page called The Brant Rant. The Brant Rant. Oh, I like the ring of that. Hallelujah. We're being watched all the time. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Hallelujah. Look at this. It says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Now, here we go. Are you ready? There are two words in the Greek for the English word change. Say change. One means this. One Greek word that's translated change means to be changed from the outside in. The other Greek word means from the inside out. Follow me now. The Greek word that's used in 2 Corinthians 3:18 means to be changed from the inside out. Say inside out. Hey, you know what came to me when I wrote this? Is that Jesus one day, he wants to say this to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He wants you to be well done from the inside out. Do you ever have a steak where it's hot on the outside, but inside it's just cold? You had too much pizza yesterday. But listen, Jesus, we want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God wants us to be well done. He wants us to be spiritually changed and cooked from the inside out. Oh, I like that. I like that. The word glory in this verse refers to this, the character and the manifestation or presence of God in our lives. Oh, that's so good. Change from glory to glory means that in our Christian life, every time we have an encounter in the presence of God, we are being changed on the inside. And guess what? Because we're being changed on the inside, it should work its way outward. It should impact what you think, say, and do. Are you following me? Perhaps if you have a sin problem, you're not well done. A hypocrite is changed only on the outside, not the inside. Are you following me? But God says, I want your heart. I want your heart changed, amen? And the only way for the inside to be changed is to encounter his presence. The presence of God can come during times of prayer, whether you're praying with your understanding or praying in tongues, while you're reading and studying the Word of God, while you're praising and worshiping in a church service, when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. It can come through an act of obedience. Listen to me. This is how you play a part in other people getting changed. Now, it can come through, the presence of God can manifest just from a simple act of obedience by you, right? But it can also be from another Christian walking in obedience toward you. Have you ever had a Christian come up to you and they give you that a word in due season and it lit you right up? What happened? Because the presence of God, the glory was on that action of obedience and it encouraged you. It charged you up. It energized you. Are you following me? It touched your heart. That's why we want the prophetic to move in these services. God, we want to hear from you, right? Yes. So remember, you're changing people because even a very insignificant act of obedience can loose the manifest presence of God and a person can get changed. Have you ever talked to someone and you both just started feeling the anointing, the presence of God? Now, when I'm talking about the glory of God, the manifest presence of God, I'm saying you can literally feel his presence. Some people say, all the hairs on my arms stood up. Like you can literally feel his presence. That's the glory. That's what when the Bible's talking about the glory of God, the Shekinah, the kabod, the weightiness of God, you can literally feel him all over, right? The main thing is this. The Holy Spirit will manifest and change you when you shift your focus on him. You won't be changed if your focus is not on him. That's why when you go and minister to someone, you have an encouraging word for someone. You know, all you are is a focus shifter. When you go out and evangelize to people like you were doing out in Flint yesterday, you know what they're doing? All they're doing is they're taking someone who's just go along in life and they think and everything's good. Someone says, what are you thinking about your eternal life? Oh, you just shifted their focus on something they haven't thought about in a while. Are you following me? That's all we are. We as ministers, as Christians, when we minister to people, we're focus shifters. That's it. That's what planting the seed of God's word in their heart. You're shifting their focus on Jesus and on eternal things and what matters in life. Amen? So sometimes it takes another Christian to help shift our focus back on God and what really matters in life. Amen? Say, I am. A focus shifter. Oh, hallelujah. That's all you are. Doesn't that make your job? You know, some of you are thinking, oh, I got this whole burden where I got to drag people out of hell. No. You're a focus shifter. Amen. You get their focus on, and then the rest is up to them. You can't save anybody. Did you know that? You can't make anyone get born again. You can't make anyone get healed. Are you following me? All you can do is shift their focus. And then what they do with that shift is up to them. So that should take a whole burden off of you right now. Amen? See, we got to trust the Holy Spirit more in the process. We're leaning too much on our flesh, right? All right, just like here, I'm giving you something to focus on. What you do with this message after you leave here, that's up to you, right? All right, 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 7 says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit, that Spirit is capitalized, so that means the Holy Spirit, but the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Say profit. I've had profit and I've had losses. I like profit better. Amen. In other words, when the Holy Spirit manifests himself, it is going to bring profit to you and others around you. We want the Holy Spirit to manifest himself. In fact, just add that. Add that to your prayers daily in the morning. Holy Spirit, I need you to manifest in and through me everywhere I go today because I want to profit from your presence. I want others to profit because of your presence. That is the importance, again, of attending a good Spirit-filled Bible-believing church where the gifts of the Spirit are allowed to operate. We always use the term the gifts of the Spirit. The actual Greek is the manifestations of the Spirit. Did you know that? Us English people, we got to classify it as gifts. We don't get this manifestation thing, right? No, it's the manifestation. It's the Holy Spirit manifesting himself through the word of knowledge, through the word of wisdom, through the gift of you following what I'm saying? We want him to manifest himself. He's got to. If he's not going to manifest himself in here, what's the point of being here, right? That's why when there's division in a local church, that's why a pastor wants to pull his hair out. I always go back to that. I got to be careful. I don't have any. No, but that's why a pastor gets so frustrated. Because the pastor wants people to be nurtured. He wants them to grow spiritually. He wants them to be blessed. And with division, it cuts the flow of the anointing. It cuts the flow. It cuts the flow of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And when the flow of the Holy Spirit's cut off, nothing happens. So what happens? We all end up leaving here going, man, that was dry today. Ugh, man, I'm so glad to be home now. In my fat pants, pigging out. Oh, we had to plow through that whole service. You know, eating ice cream, yeah. We don't like doing that. We like leaving saying, wow, that was an amazing service. Whoa, the presence of God was so strong. I feel like I could run through a troop. Amen? Hallelujah. That's how we want to leave. That's why it's very frustrating when it's not like that. Are you following? Because I only have you for about 52, maybe 50 Sunday services a year. Well, and we got Wednesday. But you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want it all to be profitable for all of us. Hallelujah. That's a good desire, right?
Sure.
That's a good desire. All right. So that's the importance of attending a good spirit-filled Bible-believing church where the gifts or manifestations of the Spirit are allowed to operate. Attend prayer meetings, Bible studies. Again, it doesn't have to be in these four walls. People are always asking me, well, is it okay to do this? Can I go to this study? I'm like, listen, I'm not your master. I'm not trying to control your life. I don't want to control your life. Mine's hard enough. Go. Have fun. Be blessed, right? Of course, go. All right? So attend prayer meetings, Bible studies, and other gatherings with Holy Spirit-filled Christians. It'll be a blessing and a benefit to your life. Amen? If we as Christians are going to be like Jesus when we see him, the thing that is changing us from the inside out, there's two things, actually. The manifest presence of God, and you'll see how they're tied in, and the Word of God. The manifest presence of God and the Word of God. We are going from glory to glory, encountering his glory in our lives. Now, the presence of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, here's why they're connected. Are you ready? The presence of God, the glory of God, the anointing is always on the Word of God. It's always on the Word of God, right? Some people are like, oh, I need a word from the Lord. I need an anointed prophetic word from the Lord. Guess what's always anointed? The Word. Amen. The promises in the Word. Get in the Word of God. Amen? Amen? And if God chooses to bring someone along to say, thus saith the Lord, and gives you a powerful prophetic word, praise God. But you don't always need that. You don't have to hang by that. If you don't get it, don't walk around like you're some lost puppy. You got this book right here. Amen. Hallelujah. That's some good preaching. Now, when we encounter the presence of God and fill our heart with the Word of God, it shines a light on. Has anybody ever figured this out? It shines a light on and reveals our imperfections so we can initiate a change in our lives. Have you ever been reading through the Word and something maybe you did wrong or something, and you read through it and you're like, oh boy, that really hit home. That's a great thing. Praise God for that, right? Listen, even the prophet Isaiah, when he encountered the presence of God, he said these words. He said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. When he encountered the glory and the presence of God, it shined a light in areas of even the prophet Isaiah. You know, we always tend to lift all these people up from the Word. Oh, wow, they're so holy. No. Guess what? They dealt with the flesh just like you and I. Amen. They did. They dealt with everything we had to deal with. And obviously, when the presence of God is so holy and it's so bright, you know, not necessarily bright physically, I'm saying spiritually bright, that it shines a light on areas like you're ready for this? It's just a reminder. We're not like Jesus yet. We're still in the season of change and process. Amen? We're still being processed. All right? Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, was changed with an encounter by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. You remember that? So it's no wonder that the Word of God says this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, or there is freedom. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, I feel the anointing right now. The Holy Spirit creates a positive change everywhere he manifests himself. It's impossible to have the Holy Spirit, his presence, and him manifest himself and nothing positive happen. Are you following me? Anywhere he manifests, there's going to be freedom. There's going to be liberty. All right? Or you could say it this way. Where the Spirit of the Lord is not, there is not freedom and there is not liberty. Okay? All right. So the kingdom of God's not being advanced without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, what's interesting is this. Think about this. This came to me, and I wrote this down this morning. It wasn't in my notes originally, but the Holy Spirit reminded me of this. The Word of God says that the kingdom of God is where? Within you. So It must be advanced within us first before it can be advanced outwardly. If the kingdom of God's not being advanced on the inside, it's not going to go out. So what you got is you got a bunch of Christians running around where they're not being changed on the inside, but they're trying to advance the kingdom of God, and they're making a mess out of it. For the kingdom of God to be advanced outwardly, it's got to be advanced inwardly in your heart first. Does that make sense? All right. Now, so I want Living Waters Chapel to be a church where the Spirit of God feels welcome to manifest himself anytime. That's when lives are changed, amen? And that's when Jesus Christ is truly glorified, because the main purpose, the job of the Holy Spirit is this, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? Go with me to Psalm 15. Oh, we're all in a season of change. Ooh, I like that. From the inside out. From the inside out. Now, so Psalm 15, 1 through 5 describes who will abide. Say abide. Who will abide in the presence of God. The presence of God, like I said, changes us. But then this chapter tells us how to abide or remain in his presence. Because I don't know about you, but I just don't want one single encounter. I don't want just one encounter. I want of the presence of God. I don't want an encounter and then walk away and not be in his presence. Oh, then have an encounter. No, I don't want that. I want to, ready? Abide. Continue in his presence. Are you following what I'm saying? Look at Psalm 15:1. Psalm 15, 1 through 5 talks about how to abide. Oh, we want him to last. We want his presence to last. I want to feel his presence all the time. In fact, Moses said, God, I don't want to go anywhere unless your presence goes with me. Show me your glory. Amen? Look at this. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. There it is. God's always wants our heart. It's got to be from the inside out. Amen? There's got to be a change on the inside. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. You might want to type this out, write it out, and put it on your bathroom mirror and read it every morning. It says, he who does these things. I like that when there's scriptures that says, he who does these things, when you do these things, you're going to be blessed. Those are things we need to stick in our memory bank. Amen? Now, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Oh, we are in a season of change. We must be changed. We must look at change as a positive. And don't ever forget, change means not negative. It means to become more like Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy. It would have been good if it just said mercy. But it says abundant mercy. Say abundant mercy. Has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, say little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Anybody going through any trials? If you're human, right? That the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, say fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, or the completeness, the fullness of your salvation when we see him. So what came to me was this, is that gold, everybody's talking about gold. Gold, it's so expensive. Wow, buy gold. Oh, it's a precious metal, right? But here's what you got to understand. Gold, a raw piece of gold, is not very attractive at all. It's hidden beneath a whole bunch of different layers of, ugh. Are you following me? Actually, it's when it first comes out, it's very dull looking. Gold must be put in a fire to be purified, for they call it the dross, to come off. And then it's made shiny. But it needs to go through the fire. Say fire. Fire. This is what the Holy Spirit said. Don't despise the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't despise. So just think of yourself. We're pieces of gold. We're dull in areas, and we need that fire. Now, I'm not talking about sickness or disease. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about we're going to go through trials, right? And we need to allow the Holy Spirit. When we go through a trial, that's when the fire of the Holy Spirit, that's when the Holy Spirit will reveal things to us like, hey, you didn't handle that very well. You need to change this in your heart. Are you following me? So we got to work with the process that the Holy Spirit is doing in our life. Now, this is interesting here. This is my last point that I'm going to talk about. Another part of the changing process that you probably have not thought about, and I'm glad to bring it to you this morning at Living Waters Chapel, is this: progressive revelation. Say progressive, progressive. Revelation. Revelation. What is progressive revelation? This simply means that you continue to move forward, progressive in your relationship with the Lord, and as you progress with him, the more truth from the Word of God will be revealed or illuminated to you by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what I'm talking about. When you first got saved, when you first became a Christian, you were not a theology major on everything in the Word. Amen? All right, when it came to the things of God, you really didn't know anything. The only thing you knew was simply this: Jesus loves me and he died for me. Are you following me? Other than that, you knew nothing. Okay, listen to me. But every day you would learn more and more from the Word, and the Holy Spirit would give you more understanding, more revelation of it, progressive revelation. And what you learned and received during those times, it changed your way of thinking. I like to say it this way. It changed your belief system in your heart. It changed your belief system. That's why part of this whole changing process is progressive revelation. Don't be so hard on yourself. You know, someone asks you a question who's not a Christian, you're like, I don't know. Don't be hard on yourself. Are you following me? There's some things people ask me, and I'm like, I have no idea. I'll get back with you if I get the answer. You following me? We don't know everything. You're not going to know everything, but it's a progress. It's progressive revelation as you keep moving forward in your walk with God, okay? And what about the person, they've been a Christian for many years, right? And they attended a church that didn't believe in the Holy Spirit baptism. They attended a church that didn't believe in praying in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit, divine healing, and all of these things. And then one day, they heard a message on Trinity Broadcasting Network, or Daystar. They heard someone came up to them and started talking to them about one of those truths. And now, boom, their eyes were open to this truth, and they're like, how did I not know this? All these years I was a Christian. You want to know why? Progressive revelation. That's why we can't be too hard on believers who aren't into these, the fuller, the deeper things. Because guess what? They're in the process of growing just like us. Amen? Now, what I have a problem is when churches preach against those things. Here's my thing. If you don't know about it, shut your mouth about it. Don't be used as a tool of the devil and tell people that speaking in tongues is from the devil. Just keep your mouth shut. If you don't know something, keep your mouth shut. Amen? Do you see me up here preaching every Sunday about end times? No, why? Because I need more progressive revelation on certain things. Hello? I could pick one side of a thing, but I don't have that conviction that it's like, yeah, that could be right. Yeah, that could be right too. I'm not going to pick a side if I don't have that revelation on the inside of me. Guess what I do then? Keep my mouth shut. Are you following me? Now, you guys doing all right? Okay, now, hold on here. Let me see where I want to go with this one. So those people's spiritual eyes were open to those truths, all right? And they changed their spiritual walk with God forever. So, again, we're being changed from glory to glory. There's revelation that we need to get on certain things, right? We need that conviction on the inside. So we need to allow, listen to this, I like this. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to update and upgrade, come on, our belief system. We need an upgrade in our belief system. Let me tell you this. Some of the things that you might be believing might not be scriptural right now. No. Some of the things grandma teach you back in the day might not be scriptural. No, grandma wouldn't lie. No, grandma maybe didn't know. She opened her mouth about a topic that she probably shouldn't have to you. Hello, somebody. So we need progressive revelation is this. It's a heavenly download to upgrade our belief system. Oh, don't you like that? Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. You see, nobody wants to believe they've been believing a lie for years. So the first reaction is always, no, no, no. That's why the pride wall goes up all the time, right? All right. Some people, it don't matter how much evidence you pull out from the word, they're going to stick to what they were taught in that denominational church, right? Well, that's on them, right? Plant seeds, move on. 2 Peter 1:12, and it says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things." These things, you can read it later, go up above that. Though you know and are established in the present truth. Now, what I want you to get out of that is present truth. Say present truth.
Present truth.
Did you know, even the book of Revelation and Daniel, they talk about things that says you're not going to know certain things until the end of time when that starts happening. Guess what that is? Progressive revelation. Progressive revelation. Say progressive revelation. So don't get discouraged. Again, if you don't have all the answers to every theological question, I don't either, but we're all on this journey together. Amen? The spiritual life of a Christian, by the way, is compared to our physical life. A new Christian is referred to in the Word of God as a babe in Christ. No, that's not a good-looking person, no, for all you younger kids. It's talking about being a baby in Christ. Say baby in Christ. All right? So a little baby doesn't become an adult in 1 week, do they? It takes time. There is a process involved with it. And part of that changing, growing, and maturing process is, you guessed it, progressive revelation. All right? And allowing the Word of God, allowing the Holy Spirit to have a greater influence in your life. You know, when we talk about growing spiritually, we're not talking about physically. Oh, the more knowledge I have, I'm getting bigger. Oh, stop. No, no, no. It's talking about allowing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to have more influence in your life. Everything you think, say, and do is being influenced more and more by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's what growing spiritually, that's what becoming spiritually mature means. You're allowing those two things to have a greater influence in your life. Amen? 1 Corinthians 3, go there with me. Most of the scriptures I'm going in are in the last two pages. You all thought that you were on final approach, but nope. We got some scriptures I'm going to go over here. Let's see here. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. They're quick scriptures here. It says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes or babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now," say until now, "until now you were not able to receive it." In other words, you're just going to spit it back up. You can't feed a steak to a baby. And if you do, I'm calling CPS on you right now. "For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are," look at this, what makes a carnal? "For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" In other words, Jesus is the central focus, not flesh, not people, right? All right, so Paul said he couldn't teach some of the Corinthian people, Christians, the meat of the word. Or what's that mean? It means the deeper truths of the word of God. Until they were able to comprehend and understand the milk. What's the milk of the word? It's the very basics. Okay? So you need the very basics of the word. So I want you to notice the progression of change that needs to happen. First, you got to be on the milk of the word. Let's get you settled, foundation on the basics. Oh, great. Now let's move you over. Now let's give you a little bit better meal, right? Let's get away from that chopped up baby food. Now let's introduce some deeper things. Amen. That's why in my messages, we got people in here at totally different levels spiritually. So you understand the challenge for a pastor. You got to teach foundational stuff. Then you got to go a little bit higher. If I just teach foundational milk stuff, guess what the more mature Christians are going to do? Oh, they're going to starve. Like, man, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for more of the word. Right? But if you go too high and you never go to the basics, the baby Christians are going to be like, where's my milk? You forget about me. You got to feed me. Where's my bottle? Right? All right. But listen to this. So who you are today is not who you'll be tomorrow. If you are honestly doing your part as a Christian by reading and studying the Word of God. Real quick, and I think... Okay, we're almost done. Go to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. All right. You getting anything out of this? Yes. Praise God. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. But you don't always want to feed milk to the babies either. You want to introduce some deeper things because it will stretch them. You following me? You want them to grow. So there is a transition point to where you go from the milk to introducing something a little bit more. Amen? All right, here we go. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. the writer of Hebrews here, you could just say the Holy Ghost because he's the main author, right? He's rebuking these Christians and saying, my goodness, you've been Christians for this long, you can't even teach someone the basics. Are you following me? And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So some of the deeper teachings, like I talked about in past sermons, The deeper teachings has to do with discerning between good and evil. Are you following me? That's where you're going to start talking about things that open the door to the devil and to the kingdom of darkness. Those are some of the deeper teachings, okay? Now, look at Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. Just keep on going. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles or basic principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Don't let that word perfection fool you. All that means is maturity. Say maturity. Let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of, now here's where it lists the basics. These are basics that every Christian should know. The foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms. There's more than just water baptism. Are you following me? When you get saved, you're baptized into the body of Christ. Then there's water baptism. And then there's the Holy Spirit baptisms. There's the baptism. And then there's the baptism of fire. There's actually four baptisms. That's why it says the doctrine or teachings of baptisms. Of laying on of hands. You need to know about laying on of hands, obviously. It's very powerful. Of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Yeah, it's a good one to know, isn't it? And this we will do if God permits. I want you to see that. It lists all the foundations and basics that every Christian should know. And it says we will move on to the deeper things if God permits. You want to know why? Because the Holy Spirit is your teacher and he knows if you got a grasp on those things or not. Are you following me? The Holy Spirit knows if you truly have a grasp on those things or not, and if you're ready to go into the deeper things of God, or if you're not able to handle it. I've seen baby Christians who delved into things instead of getting a strong foundation and dealing with these things the Word's talking about, they start going into, I want to say, the weird things of the Spirit. And now, weird meaning just the spirit realm so deep, and you know what I'm saying? I'm not cutting it down. It's powerful. But they go into these other things, but they don't even have a foundation. So when there's no foundation and they're going into the deeper things, guess what? They're probably going to do some damage to the kingdom of God. Are you following me? All right, now, to receive, I'm on the last page, to receive more knowledge and revelation, you need to take hold of and be grounded in the basics again. To receive more knowledge and revelation. There could be a reason why you're not receiving revelation on the deeper things. Because the Holy Spirit says this. You're not ready for it. Are you following me? You're not ready for that yet. So here's what... thank you, Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me and he said, have people go and study those things, and when you really study those different things that are mentioned in Hebrews 6, he said, when you study that, he's going to give you revelation of those, but it's going to uncap more deeper revelation. Are you following me?
Yeah.
All right. So, how many of you want deeper revelation? Yeah. Hey, man, I do. I know that. All right, so progressive revelation is like putting a piece of a puzzle together. It's putting a puzzle together. You have a lot of little pieces, right? But they're all coming together to make one complete picture. That's what progressive revelation is. So we all, our life is a puzzle right now. Our spiritual, everybody in this place, we each have an individual spiritual walk with the Lord. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what piece of the puzzle he needs to pick up and put in place. Don't run ahead of him. Let him reveal it to you. Go to Romans 8, 14. That's my last one. Romans 8, 14. Hallelujah. Ooh, study the basics. Study those things, and it's going to uncap deeper revelation. And the Holy Spirit will reward. I said the Holy Spirit will reward your effort for studying the basic truths. Amen? Romans 8, because some of you are thinking, I don't want to go there. I want to, it seems so boring. No, it's not. There's a reason God says we need that foundation. Amen? Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you are a Christian who is led by the Holy Spirit and not by fleshly desires, he will always take you back to the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit will not operate apart from the Word of God. Are you following me? If you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, you will change on a daily basis. You will change on a daily basis for the positive. That is the most profitable. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit is the most profitable relationship you will ever have in this life. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit. You need to focus on that. Some of you are like, hey, yeah, but my other relationships, you know, aren't those important? Well, they're a mess right now. They're a mess. Listen, everything will come together when you put your relationship with the Holy Spirit as the priority. That's what people don't understand. They're putting all this effort into people, but you're ignoring the Holy Ghost. Get close to the Holy Ghost, and then he'll show you who to get close to, who not to get close to. You'll start to see godly relationships getting closer and more unified. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So sometimes the changes are so small that you don't even recognize them. It's like, again, it's like in the natural. A baby, when a baby is born, there's changes every day, probably every hour on that baby. But do you recognize them right away? No. But eventually, you start to see it when more and more changes. So as you get into the Word, get into the presence of God, study the Word of God, all these little changes are taking place that maybe you don't notice at first, right? And then all of a sudden, you're going to be like, wow, I react differently to things now. Are you following me? I'm acting differently toward this. Oh, wow, I don't get offended anymore like I used to. You'll start to see these awesome things that are happening, but something is happening daily. So it's the same spiritual thing, like I said, between the natural and the spiritual. So here we go. Again, as I finish, the moment you got born again sparked a season of change for the rest of your life on this earth. Amen. Church, the place you are at in your spiritual life today will be different tomorrow, and the next day, and the day after that. Stay in the Word of God. Get close and stay close to the Holy Spirit. Stay and remain, dwell in His presence. Just as sure as seasons changed, you are being changed and will be changed from glory to glory. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Prayer team, come on down. Hallelujah. Now, maybe there's someone in this place, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You haven't even entered in. You haven't even entered into that season of change. Everything in your life seems to be a mess. Well, the reason is because you need Jesus. You were never created to live without God. Amen? If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, I want you to come down. You can come down right now while I'm even saying it and just pray with one of the prayer team members. If this message really touched your heart and you saw change as a negative thing, but now after this message you see it as a real positive thing, and you want to spark off that positive, you want to start brand new, and you need prayer this morning, and you just come up here and tell a prayer partner, prayer team member, say, this message touched me, and I want a closer walk with the Holy Spirit. I want to go deeper into the Word. I want a strong foundation in the Word. Amen. If you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism and you would like to do that, come on down. They'll explain it to you. If you need prayer for anything else, they will be here to pray for you. So everybody have a safe and a happy Memorial Day weekend. It's supposed to be awesome weather. Amen. Finally, right? We don't have to put on our snowsuit. So, all right, if you need me, you know where to find me. Love you all. Have a great week. We'll see you on... or we'll listen to you on the prayer call Tuesday, Wednesday, Bible study. God bless you all. See you later.